to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City Accra. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Thank you. Hello. Oh, my gosh. My goodness. This place is alive. Oh, you guys can take your seats as well, you know. Thanks so much. El Daddy. Daddy El. Uh-huh. Jen brings her love. She'll be here in September, but she brings her love to you. And all the people in Sheffield send their love to you. And I don't know one place that's filled with more legends than this place. It's just packed full, you know. Sometimes if you get a packet of crisps and there's hardly anything in it. My wife always says, I shake everything before I buy it. Just if I get a packet of sweets, I shake it just before I buy it. If I get a packet of crisps, I shake it before I buy it. And I'm checking out how much is in there, you know, to see whether it's worth it. And when I shake Hope City Accra, it is full of treasure. It is absolutely full of treasure. And it says something about, you know, how do you know that a dog's going to grow massive? It's because it's got big feet. You know, and Hope City Accra is like a puppy dog with big feet. You know this is going to be a monster. And the potential in this place is absolutely enormous. And I really want to share on not fearing failure on the journey to success. And just to take out from you the fear of failure. We're on an adventure here. Not everything we do will succeed, but we'll eventually succeed. And I kind of want to just loosen you up a little bit that it's okay to fail. And, you know, the road to success is filled with the potholes of failure. And there's no such thing as success without failure. And so this message, I think that the screen says fail to win. But it could actually be failing forwards, that every time you fail, you can fail forwards into your destiny. Another title could be failure's not an F word. Another title could be fail seven times. Fall seven times, just get up eight. You know, the man who succeeds just got up one more time than the man who failed. The woman who succeeds got up just one more time than the woman who failed. Sometimes we think the failure is an F word, and yet it's our interpretation of failure, in that when a toddler falls over, is a toddler actually failing? It's not actually failing. It's on its way to success. And so some of your failure isn't actually failure. It's just that's what you do. You stumble a little bit because you're on your way somewhere. If I was to do another title of this message, it would be just get up, brush yourself down, and start again. Just get up, brush yourself down, and start again. Sometimes we think that some people have the Midas touch. You know, everything they touch turns to gold. And yet there's no such thing as the Midas touch. It's just that people hide their failure. When they do succeed, they then pretend they went from zero to hero just in a day. But nobody does. There's a history behind all success, and it's this study of failure. And, you know, it's just that when the tree of success comes, it just covers up all the potholes of failure. But it doesn't mean that nobody failed. And I think in your life, you look at other people, think they've got the Midas touch. Everything they turns to gold, but everything you touch turns to tin. It just turns to ice. And yet, it's not true that there's no such thing as people with the Midas touch. There's only such thing as people that got up one more time. That's it. And if you could just get up one more time, then I would say that success is very close. Very close to you. In Hope City Church, one of the first church plants we did was in a town on the eastern side of England called Hull. We used to call it Hell. And we sent in some leaders there, and it lasted for about a year and a half, and then they skadooted. You know, they gave up on the project, and so they left hell. And so, you know, we had a little difficult time with it, and then we folded the congregation into another congregation. But it was F on our report card. It was failure on our report card. And so we gave it a break for maybe 5 years or so. And then we started Hope City Church in Manchester. And you know, it was going pretty well. And then my assistant minister called Glenn, who had been an assistant to me for about 12 years, I said to him, I said, why don't you go to Manchester, preach there every second week, and if you like it, let's make it your church. And so after a little while, he said, yeah, I like it. I said, well, let's make it your church. You can call it whatever you like. So he called it Audacious Church. And it's the biggest church in Manchester. But you never get an audacious without a hull. A hell. You've got to have a Hope City hull before you get a Hope City Manchester. And some of you have got this perfectionist thing going, thinking that you're not allowed to fail. And in doing that, some of you are too successful. You know, if you've just got one BFF and that's all you've got is one friend, you'll be pretty successful, but in a small world. And I think some of you are legends, but you're legends in a lounge room. And it's very easy to be a legend in a lounge room. Just put a cape on. Just put a superhero outfit on. And you limit the damage because everything you do can be successful because it's just you and the cape. It's in a lounge room. But once you launch into the world and come into your true destiny and launch out of the high seas, there's some storms around, there's some squalls around, and there's some things around. Some of you ought to fail more than you're failing. Some churches are too successful and they never attempt new things. And they don't attempt new things because of the fear of failure. And so in being fearful of failure, they never succeed. So most of people's success is historic success, not future success, because they wrapped it up thinking, well, I'm scared of failing, so I'm not going to branch out anymore just in case I fail. And yet the Bible says, sow your seed in the morning and sow your seed at night, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 6. It says, you just don't know which will succeed, whether the morning harvest or whether the afternoon harvest, or both will do equally well. I think sometimes you think that God's more precise and the Christian life's more perfect than it actually is. When Jonathan brought his armor bearer with him, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, listen, the Lord can win by many or by few. Perhaps we'll succeed. And, you know, they created a great miracle, but it wasn't under an absolute assurance the miracle would happen. They had an assurance that God could win by many or by few. So they had a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they went on the adventure. And I think some of you need to come out from the precision of faith back into the adventure of faith. And some of you, you're a little bit bored because you have never tried something new. When was the last time you did something for the first time? You know, people that are struck by the fear of failure don't attempt new things. And I love that we're doing East Lagoon. I love that. I love, you know, and we're not doing it because we're saying this is guaranteed success. This is guaranteed adventure. And what you need is the spirit of adventure. What you need is the spirit of Christopher Columbus, who left Portugal and went and discovered the US of A, you know. That's what you need. That's what you need in your heart. And so the only way you can get rid of the fear of failure is by launching into your fear. The only way you combat fear is by facing fear head on and heading into your fear. You know, there's a guy called Thomas Edison, and he invented the record player. He invented the battery. He invented the world's first power station. And he eventually invented the light bulb. And he had a industrial block in a place called Melno Park in New Jersey, just really close to New York. And it was like two blocks, and it was like buildings like five stories high that was his design studio. And they reckon sometimes when Thomas Edison was working on the top floor of a studio trying to design stuff and stuff wasn't working, instead of putting it in a skip or putting it, just bringing it down, he'd just chuck it out the window. So it didn't work, just chuck it out the window. That didn't work, chuck it out the window. They reckon that outside where he was working, there's like a mound that was two stories high of stuff that didn't work. But how do you know an inventor's around? How do you know that an entrepreneur's around? Because there's a pile of failure outside the window of their heart of stuff that didn't work. How do you know that stuff will work? It's because there's a pile of stuff that doesn't work. How do you know there's an adventure around? Because there's a shipwreck. A shipwreck's not a sign of disaster. The shipwreck's a sign of a great attempt. It's just that you think that's a sign of disaster. No, it's a sign of a great attempt. Somebody attempted to sail the high seas. And even though they're captured by a storm and captured by rocks, it's a sign of a dreamer. And as long as the captain isn't just still crying beside the wreck of the ship, we're okay. We're okay about it. How do you know that a lover of people has been around? It's because of wrecked relationships. And some of your relationships that are wrecked were signs that you actually went into that relationship full of love. It didn't work, and it eventually destroyed itself, but it's a sign of a lover. And it would only be bad if you were still crying beside that wrecked relationship. But if you came back, revived your heart, and started to love people again, then we're on our way to success. It's just your decision to just get up. Just get out of the water. Just brush yourself down from the debris of failure and just try again. That's all you need to do. All you need to do is three things. Number one, get up. Just get up. Stop crying. You can't cry over spilt milk. Once it's under the refrigerator, you'll never get it back again. Get up. Yeah, brush yourself down. Brush the debris of defeat. Just brush it off you. It's not you, you know, because the same power that rose Christ is in you. It's just the debris of defeat. Just brush it down. You're not a failure. You just failed. Start again. That's why God creates new churches and new cities. That's why Hope City Accra's here. That's why you've joined it. Because this is God's attempt to get you to start again. To get you to love people again, to get you to be an entrepreneur again, to get you to step out again, to get you to do great things again. This is your journey of success. I don't know if you've heard of Hillsong Church, but their very first deliberate church plant was Hillsong Milan. No one's ever heard of Hillsong Milan because it doesn't exist. Because they invested hundreds of thousands of Australian dollars into it, and it was a failure. The whole thing collapsed. But you know, on the horizon of Hillsong Church today, one of the great blessings of Hillsong Church is Hillsong New York. Everyone who goes to New York wants to visit Hillsong New York. It's just an absolute beacon in the skyline of God's churches. But you'll never get a New York without a Milan. You can't go from zero to New York in one single bound. I think somebody's tricked you. I think somebody's tried to make the Christian life more precise than it actually is. And because God's trying to teach you and not trying to make you a robot, then you need to become a toddler. You know, and toddler is where you learn to walk. You know, a giraffe just comes out walking. You know, it's just a lot of animals just come out walking. It's not fair because humans don't come out walking. They come out pooing. You know, but that's because God loves the learning experience. He loves you to learn, but you cannot learn without failing. So I love what's the spirit of Hope City Church. If you want to join us, it'll get rid of your heart attack because we just love the spirit of adventure. It's not guaranteed. God's guaranteed that his nature is brilliant. But he doesn't guarantee everything we do actually succeeds. In actual fact, when Jesus taught about the parable of the sower, the farmer who went out and sowed seed in the ground, he actually prophesied failure. This is what it says in Mark 4, 3 to 9. He says, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil, sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. And when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell amongst thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they didn't bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30 times, some 60 times, and some 100 times. So some seed falls on shallow soil, doesn't work. Some seed falls on overcrowded soil, it doesn't work. Some seed falls on hard soil, it doesn't work. But some seed, and the majority of the seed, is destined for good soil. And the stuff that eventually lands on good soil produces a harvest minimum 30 times, maximum 100 times. This is Jesus prophesying failure. Not everything you touch, not everything you plant will come to life. It's not your fault. It's just the environmental conditions that are around about you. So stop expecting every seed you plant to actually bear fruit. This is a prophecy that a majority of your seed, that's all you need, is a majority of your seed will fall on good soil, and the good soil will produce 30 times, 60 times, 100 times that which was sown. That's the good news of the gospel. But how do you know a farmer's around? It's because there's seed scattered. How do you know there's a sower around? Because there's seed scattered. And some of you are so tight with your one seed. That's why God doesn't give you lots of seed, because you're too tight with your one seed. You want to have a scattering around. You want to love people who will never love you back. You want to launch out in projects that will never make money. You want to launch out in ministries that might never go anywhere. But often that failure of a ministry then leads to a successful second ministry. Often that friendship becomes a bridge to the next friendship. And often that business opportunity, even though failed, becomes the bridge to the next business opportunity. You've got to have things that provide bridges to the next thing. Not everything is the next thing. Some things are bridges to the next thing. You want to get up and brush yourself down. I mean, what are you doing crying over spilt milk? Brush yourself down and you want to start again. Become the adventurer that God's called you to be. You know, I said, is a toddler falling over, is that real failure? And you know, way back, I think Euro 8 years ago, and Iceland were in the semi-finals of this huge European competition. Iceland has a population of 300,000 people. Like, what is Iceland doing in that competition? It was just the weirdest thing in the world that, you know, Iceland, it's not even as big as Sheffield. It's smaller than Sheffield, and yet it was the semifinals or the quarterfinals. Which one, John? The quarterfinals. And I think England was out, but Iceland was still in. And it was a weird thing, but then they failed in the quarterfinals. I think against Germany, but they were out in the quarterfinals. But let me say this, right? Did they really fail? Well, it's the same with you. Just because you're out in the quarterfinals. In reflection, they were the greatest success that Europe has ever seen. And yet, it'll never be in the Guinness Book of Records. It'll never be recorded in history. And yet, it's the greatest European victory of all time. And yet they were knocked out in the quarterfinals. I just think that you need to reevaluate yourself. And here's some reevaluations you need to make, right? That your success and your sense of failure depends on where you put the cutoff time. Because for Jesus, when he was about to go to the cross, he wasn't very successful at all. When Jesus was on the cross, let's take that as the example. Everybody had abandoned him except for his mother. And you wouldn't expect your mum to abandon you. It's what mums do, isn't it? Mums stick by you. So his mum was there, but no one else was there. This is the man who was called to change the world. And he changed hardly anything. But I'm making the false assessment of Jesus Christ because I'm cutting him off at the cross. But if I was to cut him off like 50 days later, then he's shown himself to 500 people. It's not much for the greatest superhero in the world. It's not much, 500 people. So even the assessment 50 days after is still it's still a wrong assessment. Because if I was to assess him today, he is the greatest ruler, the greatest leader, the greatest king that the world has ever seen in the entire history of the world. Billions of people have been saved through his blood and through his death upon the cross. If I was to mark it now, he's incredibly successful. But that's the problem that you do. You think, I'm 29. What have I done with my life? Well, not much, because you're 29, right? And then you think, I'm 39, what's happening in my life? And then you're constantly evaluating your life and then coming up with F for failure. It's because you're evaluating it at the wrong time. It's at the wrong time. You want to evaluate it at the right time, not at the wrong time. You know, when I was 27 years of age, something like that, all the ministry was about fasting, was about the supernatural, was about praying for miracles. And I thought, I'm just going to have to launch out. And I was driving past a doctor's surgery. What do you call it here? Doctor's clinic here, right? I was driving past doctor's clinic. And I thought, Dave, if you're going to start in this supernatural ministry, why don't you start with a doctor's clinic? So I thought, all right, I'll pull my car up and I'll go into that clinic and I will see myself some miracles in that clinic. And so then I parked the car, locked the car, walked down the street and then walked into the clinic expecting 30, 40 people to be there. I could just go around and see all of them get healed. There was no one in there except for one man. And so he was obviously God's choice. And so I went up to him and I said, listen, this is weird, right? I said, I'm a Christian. I believe the same power that rose Christ from the dead dwells in me. And I said, is there something, what's wrong? What can I pray for? He said, there's nothing wrong with me, mate. My wife's in there seeing the doctor. I'm just waiting for it. Well, I got out of that place as quickly. And it was a place called Sunnybank. And you know, in one respect, if I was to evaluate my life at that point, I would have an F on the report card. But you know, if you project that 4 years later, when Jen and I flew 10,000 miles from Brisbane to Sheffield, the Sheffield has become the crucible or the birthing place of some remarkable heroes of the faith. You've got to have a Sunnybank before you have a Sheffield. And Sunnybank becomes part of the road to Sheffield. And so even though I'd failed, the spirit of Sunnybank was the same spirit that birthed Sheffield. And the spirit that birthed Sheffield is the same spirit that's birthing East Lagoon. It's exactly the same spirit. It's just that you've got to take off that, stop evaluating yourself so often. Stop overthinking. Stop thinking, what have I done with my life? Well, it doesn't really matter because with Jesus Christ, he seemed to do everything within 3 years, he did everything. And up to 30 years of age, he'd done nothing. So it's okay to do nothing up to 30 years of age, right? He did everything in 1/10 of his lifespan. So you imagine your life in 1/10 of your lifespan. You think, what have I done with my life? No, nothing. But in the next 3 years, you could do everything that it would take an entire life. God can squeeze an entire lifespan in the next 3 years. What kind of unbelievers are you? You know, God can do more in 1 year than than you could do in a lifetime. So why aren't you thinking I'm on the verge of great things in God? Why aren't you thinking that? It's because you're failure conscious instead of success conscious. You need to expect great things from God. You need, you know, if faith's like water, then hope is like boiled water. It's like steam. You need to create the steam of faith, which is hope and expectation. Something good is about to happen. And you need to eradicate the fear of failure. Get up. Brush yourself down. And you want to start again. So firstly, it all depends on where you put the end date. Secondly, failure just needs recording. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those that come to him must believe that he exists and he's a rewarder of those who faithfully serve him. For those who step out, God has rewards for. There's a slight uncertainty. It's not doubt. It's just sovereignty. There's a slight uncertainty there, but we step out in faith. believe in God. It doesn't become a failure. It becomes a bridge to something successful. Let me declare my greatest failure of all time is a ministry called Mega Babe. And Mega Babe was a clothing exchange just in the inner city of Sheffield in quite a poor area. And our idea was that women would come in and give us their clothes. We'd sell their clothes to other women and then the profit would split the profit. So we'd build a community venture that was that then had redemption in it, right? So that was the idea, and there's a couple of things that went wrong. Number one is a department store opened up opposite that sold clothes cheaper than our secondhand clothes. So that was a problem, right, called Matalan. It was a problem that we had, and so that reduced our trade, right? Secondly, and I know that society has changed its evaluation of trans people, but this trans person came in, was trying on women's clothing for half the day, and so all the Christian women who were you know not worldly wise, they all resigned because they just kind of felt like, you know, they just felt uncomfortable is the word, right? And so I couldn't keep them in employment when they felt uncomfortable. And so now we've got no one working there. We've got no one buying anything, just someone trying on. And then we had no one working there, right? And then somebody said, "Well, Dave, don't you think the sign's wrong?" I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "Well, Mega Babe, people driving past thinking it's for babies or for very large women." So it's kind of reduced your possible trade down further. But you know, this is true, and I'm preempting what's going to happen in heaven. Then when I get to heaven, just say I get knocked over by a truck this exactly the same time as Reinhard Bonnke. For a start, because the Bible says good and well done, faithful servant, not successful servant, God will take away our success because success belongs to God. Steps belong to man, stepping out belongs to man, but success belongs to God. So I'll laugh at Reinhardt because he'll come with about 2,000 truckloads of success. I'll just wave at his trucks as Jesus takes them as his own. And I'm just left there. And you know, Jesus then started on me. And I was thinking, there'll be nothing on the big DVD screen of heaven up to 20 years of age because that's when I got saved. And then even after that, it'll be quite scratchy because God throws my sins as far as the east is from the west. So there'll be a lot of blank parts on this DVD. And then I suspect that on the sign, the coming up on the DVD will be the Mega Babe sign. And I'll say, I'll go into Old English, "What is thou showing me?" I've already got the script, "Lordeth." And he'll go, "Listen, it's Mega Babe. Remember Mega Babe? Knoweth, Lordeth? What is this? Lordeth." He go, "Mega Babe, remember? Lordeth? Mega Babe?" And I'll be acting. And because I know what's about to happen. And then I'll say, "Why wouldeth rewardeth me for Megath, babe?" And he'll say, "Because you know how everything's quite serious, Dave? Like some pretty serious issues on earth. When you invented that name, we laughed and laughed and laughed. We had like 2 years laughter out of your idiocy." And I think, well, that's good. You know, Holy Spirit laughing, Father laughing, Jesus joining in, Archangel Michael, Gabriel. I love giving heaven a good time. And secondly, say it's because it's a sign of a greater attempt, Dave. Because the same Spirit that started Mega Babes, the same Spirit that started City Hearts. And now City Hearts employs like 150 people. It's helped thousands of victims, of survivors of human trafficking. But you know, sometimes you look at the big things, think God will reward us for City Hearts. He'll reward us equally for Mega Babe. Yet Mega Babe is a rusty sign somewhere in a dump right now. But God will pull it out. And God will pull out some of the stuff in your past. Because even though it's in a tip called failure, it wasn't actually a failure. It was done with the spirit and the intention of faith. To get a City Hearts, all you need to do, get up brush yourself down and try again. I'll just give a couple more. The keyboard player can come on up now if you like. He's like Bruno Mars, isn't he? Just a little taller. I love failure because it breaks perfectionism. And if there is a disease of the 21st century, it's got to be perfectionism. If there's a disease of the church, it's got to be perfectionism. Everyone's waiting for a precise word from God that he rarely gives because he wants us to grow up into him, not just become a robot of him. Perfectionism kills people's lives because it's totally unattainable. You can't actually get to perfectionism until we reach heaven. When it comes to Jesus' leadership, he lost somebody. He only had 12 and he lost Judas. So if Jesus was given a report card, he's the greatest leader of all time. His report card would be 92% for Jesus, the greatest leader the world has ever seen. Well, why 92%? He lost one. He only had 12. You know, and when he was praying on the windswept hills and when he was disappearing and going up to the mountains to pray, I suspect that at least 30% of every prayer would have been for Judas. It didn't work. Here's the greatest leader of all time, the greatest lover of all time. And he had 12 and he lost one. I need to say to you, it's okay. It's okay. To lose things is okay. You know, and I think he lost one just to show you it's okay to lose something. You know, eventually Judas became a bridge to the cross and the cross became a bridge to all of our salvation. So in a macabre way, Judas was a great success for the kingdom of God. But stop putting a marker that you've got to get A+ in everything you do. That we need some volunteers here. You're not going to get A+. You're going to trip up a lot. You're going to do a bad job. But it's not a bad job. It's a beginning job. You know, it's something you need to launch out in ministry. And you went to Sunnybank and you failed as well. Why don't you begin to launch out again? Sunnybank then becomes a model of success rather than a failure. Here's my last point, and that is that often God uses failure in order to, sometimes God uses failure to springboard you into success. And this is my last illustration. I studied civil engineering at Sydney University, and I failed third year, which was the same year I actually got saved. And I failed third year because I didn't do any work. I should have failed first year, and I should have failed second year. But they're two miracles. But I was caught out in third year. So I failed third year. And so I went to university. I'll show you my age now. I went to university from 1978 to 1982. And when you actually look at it, it sounds like 4 years. But it's not, because the year 1980 is invisible. It's 5 years. So I went for a job with the greatest engineering company in Australia in a high-rise building in Sydney. And out of everyone that was part of our year, and there was maybe 100 people or so, there's only two of us left to get the number one job in Australia. And I thought, this is incredible. This is the grace of God, the hand of God on my life. Until one of the guys on the board said, hang on a sec, 82 minus 78 looks like 4. And I knew within a minute I'd be out of the room. So that was the end of my engineering career. And, you know, I then looked up some jobs and there were some clearing jobs. In other words, some jobs that people wanted degreed people in a non-degree jobs. It was for a concrete making company. And I thought, well, it's better to be employed than unemployed. And so I went for one of the jobs. And they took me from Sydney, 1,000 miles north, to Brisbane. And it was one winter's night in Brisbane that I met a girl who was doing some street witnessing for Jesus for her local youth group. Our youth group had just finished a concert in the middle of the town. Someone who I knew from girls' grammar school who knew this girl introduced us to each other. It just happened to be Jenny Gilpin. And we've been married now for 33 years. But listen, what made us unite in King George Square? What was the premise behind this relationship that has proved itself to be a great? What was the premise behind it? The premise was, I failed third year. I just think that God's bigger than you think. That God in His providence is bigger than you think. God in His greatness is bigger than you think. I think you've reduced God thinking, what can God do with that? God can send you to Brisbane with that. What can He do with the fact that I lied and I tried to change the report saying 4 years? What does God do with my lying, my deceitfulness? He used that. He used that to send me to Brisbane. I just think that all things are working together for good in your life right now. If you could just strip yourself of the spirit of failure, the fear of failure, we're doing something good. All you need to do is wipe the tears, get up. It's quite simple. Get up, brush yourself down, and move away from the shipwreck. Go back to the harbor and build yourself a new ship. If this word has meant anything to you, I'm going to pray this new spirit of faith enters into your spirit. If that's you, I'm going to get you, all eyes stay open. I'm going to get you to put both hands in the air right now. If this message means something to you right now, on the count of three, put both hands in the air. 3, 2, 1, lift. Yeah, see. Father, I pray, wash away the feeling of defeat. Wash away the exhaustion.